Let's ask God to speak to us today. Father, we're here as your children. We're here to hear your voice. We're here to understand your will, that we can better please you and live for you. So I pray once again that you would give us ears to hear what your Spirit is saying. In the name of Jesus, your Son, amen. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8. You can call today's message Getting a Fresh Word from God. Getting a Fresh Word from God. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Moses speaking to the Israelites at the end of the wilderness wanderings before entering the promised land. The whole commandment that I command you today, you should be careful to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land that the Lord swore to give to your fathers. And you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And he humbled you, and he let you hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. We live by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Now, it's also possible that what God is saying here is, we live by whatever he ordains, meaning if he says we can live on manna, we can live on manna. If he said we could live underwater and breathe like fish, then we could live underwater and breathe like fish, that whatever he speaks, we live by. But in the broader sense, this is reminding us that our ultimate sustenance, what we need more than anything, comes from God speaking to us. That we don't live by mere natural or financial provision, talking about really living, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. If you go to Matthew, the 4th chapter, Jesus quotes this. He's dealing with the tempter, with Satan, during his time in the wilderness, his 40 days in the wilderness, which correspond to Israel's 40 years in the wilderness. And each time Satan tempts him, he responds with a scripture from Deuteronomy. Matthew 4:1, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. So here's the temptation. What you have is not enough. God is not providing for you, just like in the wilderness with the children of Israel. Grumble, complain, but since you're the Son of God, use your power to get what you want. If you're the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. But he answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. More important than food after a 40-day fast, when your body is starting to shut down and you're hungry and need to eat, more important than that is getting a word from God. More important than that is living by the word that God has spoken to us. That sustenance is more important to us than physical sustenance. Now go back with me to Numbers chapter 9, one of the most fascinating passages in the scriptures. Numbers chapter 9. I remember writing a book that came out in 1991 where I quoted this passage, but it was before I had the Bible on my computer. So if I was quoting a passage, I had to write it out, as opposed to now you can just grab it off whatever software you're using and put it in. So it was one of these passages that seemed especially long, and especially redundant, because I had to write it out. And the more you read it, the more you say, okay, I think we get the point. Oh, okay, I think we really get the point. Okay, I think we really got the point that you were trying to make about that point that you were making about that point. This is early in the wilderness time. Verse 15, on the day that the tabernacle was set up, the cloud covered the tabernacle, the tent of the testimony. And at evening, it was over the tabernacle like the appearance of fire until morning. So it was always. The cloud covered it by day and the appearance of fire by night. And whenever the cloud lifted from over the tent, after that, the people of Israel set out. And in the place where the cloud settled down, there the people of Israel camped. I got that. All clear. At the command of the Lord, the people of Israel set out, and at the command of the Lord, they camped. As long as the cloud rested over the tabernacle, they remained in camp. Okay, I think we got that. Even when the cloud continued over the tabernacle many days, the people of Israel kept the charge of the Lord and did not set out. Sometimes the cloud was a few days over the tabernacle, and according to the command of the Lord, they remained in camp. Then according to the command of the Lord, they set out. All right, I thought we knew that, but I guess we're really getting it now. And sometimes the cloud remained from evening until morning, and when the cloud lifted in the morning, they set out. Or if it continued for a day and a night, when the cloud lifted, they set out. Whether it was 2 days or a month or a longer time that the cloud continued over the tabernacle, abiding there, the people of Israel remained in camp and did not set out. But when it lifted, they set out. At the command of the Lord, they camped, and at the command of the Lord, they set out. They kept the charge of the Lord at the command of the Lord by Moses. You think God's trying to tell us something here? I think it was the novelist Ernest Hemingway that wrote some of his books in serial form for a magazine or newspaper, whatever it was, and each week they'd publish another section. And some have commented that some of his writings, if I'm thinking of the right person, some of his writings were very wordy. They said, yeah, but that's because he was paid by the word. You'd almost get the feeling that somebody was either paid by the word or that you're just filling time here. You got to fill a 5-minute slot and you only had 2 minutes of material, so you just keep repeating it. But that's not the way it is with the word. This is inspired, and every word matters in that respect. And there's something that God is trying to communicate to us about knowing his will and hearing his voice and being led by his spirit and marching at his command and not marching when he hasn't commanded. But to underscore this, we read this and it's no big deal to read. But do you understand what you just read here? Do you understand this is talking about the tabernacle? Read through beginning in Exodus 25 to the end of Exodus where it lays out how to build the tabernacle and then how they built the tabernacle. This was an incredible amount of work each time to set this up and to take it down. I mean, just imagine that I came in here and I said, hey, praise the Lord. The Lord has spoken to me that we are to have our praise and worship outside. So we need to take all this equipment, everything, run wires, bring the chairs. And I tell you about a half hour before the service, so everybody is scrambling to do it. And after the first song, I say, the Lord is pleased with our effort. Now we go back in here. And in the course of 2 hours, we shifted 6 different times. That would be minor compared to what it took to take down the tabernacle. All right, the cloud has moved. Moses, the man of God, says, we follow the cloud. All right, must be a bad area here. Maybe it's unsafe here. Maybe there's no provision here. All right, everybody, follow the cloud. All right, the Lord has stopped here. Wait a second. In the morning, we take this thing down. We move. Then at night, you got to be kidding me. For a day, and there seems to be no reason for it. A day, 2 days, a longer time, same day. But God was obviously seeking to teach his people to follow him, to live in dependence on him. Where the cloud goes, the provision goes. Think of that. Well, we're not moving. It's been too much, and we're tired, and we're not moving. So you stay there, and the provision is over there. Jesus said in John, the 10th chapter, my sheep hear my voice. My sheep, they recognize my voice, and my sheep, he says, follow me. Romans 8 tells us, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God, which does not necessarily mean that every single day we're getting fresh words and fresh commands, and if you have not heard the audible voice of God, you're not saved. I'm not sure what's happening with this mic, but I assure you I'm not doing anything. I see these guys laughing back there and giving them high fives. I don't know what that means as the sound goes up and down. I don't mean to say that every day the Scripture's telling us we're going to hear God saying, Michael, yes, Lord, wake up. Thank you, Lord. Brush your teeth. Got it. No, I don't believe the Scripture's saying that, but it's telling us that God is at work in our lives every single day, all through the day, to move us in the direction of the will of God, to move us to say no to the flesh and yes to the Spirit. There is a continual working of the Spirit of God in our lives. And there are times where we know that something is wrong. Just on the inside, we're uneasy. Something's just not feeling right. It can hit in different ways. It can be that you feel a pressure on you that you're not expecting to feel, and there's no good reason for it. Something just pulling you down, or you've been thriving, you've been blessed in what you're doing, and suddenly there's no vision, and there's no clarity, and there seems to be no purpose. And you say, okay, what's going on? Well, you know, maybe it's just a bad day, or a little tired, or just circumstances, or whatever. But when this goes on and you're spending time with the Lord and you're seeking to walk in obedience to Him, and you keep hitting these walls, something just doesn't seem right. Something seems to be missing. Often that's God's way of telling us that we really need to seek Him to get fresh marching orders. And many times we're not bearing all the fruit that we could bear. We're not seeing the fullness of what God wants to do in us and through us because we're not going after Him and saying, Father, whatever you want, I'm your servant, I'm your son, I'm your daughter. Whatever you want, whatever you have for me, here I am. And we press in. Sometimes it gets uncomfortable, but without it getting uncomfortable, we wouldn't really press in. Listen, if there was an easy way to do things or a hard way to do things, we're going to do things the easy way. Of course we would. And if there's a way to avoid pressure, if there is a way to avoid the tension of being uncertain, we would certainly avoid that. But there are times when it seems almost as if God is hiding Himself in that respect. Times where it seems as if He's not speaking because He wants us to really go after Him and put aside other distractions until we hear His voice, until we get fresh marching orders. Sometimes it's a matter of affirmation to do what we're doing. Sometimes it's a matter of fine-tuning and clarity. And sometimes it's something fresh and new and unexpected. And of course, the primary way that God speaks on a regular basis is through His Word. And the more that we are communing with God through His Word, the more He'll speak to us through His Word, sometimes in the most unexpected ways. I remember years back, must have been the early 1980s, Nancy and I had gotten this expensive yellow-naped Amazon parrot. We were into birds then. Of course, having little kids, it was the coolest thing. And as this bird, we got it very young, which was very rare in the States at that time. And it cost a lot of money. It was a serious investment to have this thing live like 70 years. And, you know, they talk and mimic you and all these different things. And we were really enjoying having this bird, and the kids enjoyed the bird and all this. And somehow we just started to feel uneasy, like we were supposed to sell the bird, think Nancy may have felt it first, then me, I forget the order. I think, why would God want us to sell the bird? Didn't seem to make much sense, but for whatever reason, we started to feel that way. And I remember we were visiting a friend in Queens, New York. We lived on Long Island. We were visiting a friend in Queens, New York. We attended church service with him and his family on a Sunday morning. And the pastor preached a message, if I'm correct, on Joshua 3, that the children of Israel, following the Levites, the priests, when they put their feet in the waters would part. And that was the order, put your feet in the water, and then the waters will part. That's what he preached on. And Nancy and I got out of the service and said to each other, did God speak anything to you through the message? She said, yeah. He said, we need to sell the bird. I said, that's what I heard also. It's like, what? It seemed to have no logical connection to the text whatsoever. But somehow, through that, the Holy Spirit got that message across. Maybe that was for somebody here. Hey, if you just bought a yellow nape Amazon parrot, maybe that was for you. So there are times when you can be reading the Word and somehow just the truth of God gets into your heart, gets into your mind. It separates soul from spirit. Before you know it, there's clarity about an issue. That can happen all the time. And God can speak to you about compromise in your life, or he can encourage you in the right direction that you're going. And that just comes as we're reading the Word on a regular basis. But there are those times that we must get a fresh word from heaven, that we can't live without a word proceeding from the mouth of God. And they can be frustrating times because it seems like you're not hearing. They can be challenging times because it seems that, boy, heaven was so open and I was communing with God and I had such a sense of fellowship and now it's not there. Those are often times where he's calling us to press in more deeply. And as I was praying yesterday about things and this theme was laid on my heart, often as we come to the end of a year, we step back and we reflect. Maybe you do that. You look at the year. You look at what's happened over the year. You kind of assess your own life. You're praying about the coming year. It's often a good time to do it. And sometimes at a time like this, you think, okay, something isn't right. Have you ever had that physically? You know something's just not right. You can't put your finger on it, but you know something's not right. I arrived in India a few years ago, and within 2 days of being there, I started feeling sick. I've been sick on trips to India before, but didn't know what was going on. Feverish and just body ache and not feeling well in any way. And so I'd get up and speak, think, man, all right, this is going to pass, and get back to my room. Maybe I'd take some aspirin or something just to fight the fever. And then I'd wake up a few hours later feeling better, go back to ministry. And this happened on and off the entire trip. And it started to get progressively worse. I remember getting into one city. I was have to do my radio show from 12:30 at night to 2:30 in the morning. And then I was going to fly out the next day and finished radio. And literally the moment I finished, I just put everything down, got under the covers and was shaking and sweating, you know, just feeling miserable. I thought, man, what did I get over here? It was just miserable flights home, some of the worst flights I had had in years, coming back home. And then I get back home and, okay, rest a little, feel a little better. And the same cycle. I said to Nancy, something's just not right. She said, well, yeah, flu or something, it'll pass. But after a week, I thought, something is just not right. So I went into a local clinic. It was a Saturday. And the gal begins talking to me, the doctor, and been out of the, you know, looking for this, looking for that, we'll test you for this or that. She said, you've been out of the country recently? I said, yeah, just got back from India. She said, maybe you got West Nile virus. I thought, oh yeah, right, I got West Nile. Sure. Well, I had West Nile virus. The funny thing is, though, from everything we can tell, although my older daughter and her husband still dispute this, it appears I did not get West Nile virus in India because the incubation period was basically 3 to 14 days. And it hit too quickly when I got to India. It appears that I contracted it while out fishing with my family in Maryland. Knowing how much I am not a hunting, fishing guy, just to have a little fun with the family, my son-in-law said, we're all going to go out fishing today. That was my last time fishing. I don't just mean the last time, but I mean my last time. Hopefully. Someone said, yeah, but once you catch the fish, that's when you get hooked. I said, not when I see the thing panting for air, landing. I'm not hooked on that. Or you just throw it back. Take the thing out, throw it back. Oh, yeah, great. Fun sport. Anyway, I'm a New York Jew. Sorry, I didn't grow up hunting. Didn't grow up fishing. I don't want to rain on your parade. A younger grandson in Maryland, they sent us this video the other day. They're holding up squirrels that they killed and skinned. You've got to be kidding me. My son-in-law was in town for a little while. The one that took us out fishing and was sharpening this knife, Nancy's knife sharpener. And I said, what are you doing? He said, it's a hunting knife. Just sharpening it. I said, I'd be impressed if you went and killed the thing, not gutted it with it. I'd be impressed if you went hunting with that knife and killed the animal. I said, that's hunting. Anyway. So from what we could tell, it was like 12 days from being with them in Maryland. And I remember we were getting all bit up by that swamp. Sorry, not river where we were. But something just didn't feel right physically. And sure enough, I get the call a few days later, you got West Nile virus. In fact, I was the case in Mecklenburg County. They announced on TV, you know, my radio engineer said, hey, Dr. Brown, he said, I think they were talking about you on TV. They said, what do you mean? Actually, a few older people in Concord had died. They said, yeah, there's one case in Mecklenburg County, but nothing to be concerned about because he just came back from overseas. It's like, oh, you want to know the rest of the story? It's Maryland. It's not overseas. Don't go fishing in Maryland. All right, so we're not introducing esoteric doctrine on this Holy Remnant Sunday, but we are sharing stories we've never shared before in such detail. Sometimes you feel the same way spiritually. Something is just not right. Something is just not right, and you don't know what the problem is. And often what it is you need to go to God until you get a fresh word. You need to go to God because something needs to be adjusted. Or because you're carrying something he didn't call you to carry. Or you're not doing something that he did call you to do. Or you're coming to the end of one season and it's the beginning of another season. Or he wants you to trust him in a new way and press in. And I'll tell you, when I get a fresh word from God, when there's something that he wants to communicate to me, I don't just mean in the general reading of the word and in our general time of prayer and fellowship with God. 2 Corinthians 13:14 speaks of the communion of the Holy Spirit. So that means there should be fellowship with the Spirit. When I say should, I don't mean that in a condemning way. If you don't sense that, I mean it in an inviting way that God desires to have fellowship with us. But there's nothing more invigorating than getting a word from God for your life. There's nothing more invigorating. Even if everything around you is the same, that's what you need. That's what gives you life. And sometimes, even if it's not a matter of something being wrong, even if it's not a matter of needing new direction, we need to be in communion with God so that he's speaking to us in a fresh way. Because we can do things by habit. We can be creatures of habit. We can get into a spiritual rut just by doing the same thing over and over. And I don't mean we shouldn't have routine or we shouldn't have discipline, but I mean we can just get into the rut of doing things. And then God wants to speak to us afresh. It could be a fresh word of his love. It could be a fresh word of encouragement. It could be a fresh word of affirmation. It could be a fresh word of correction. But when he speaks, it's life-giving. When he speaks, it's energizing. I remember one time in a major challenge, a very difficult season, time of extraordinary financial pressure because of some serious errors made by a friend that was trying to help but ended up really hurting. And I needed wisdom from God. I needed an answer from heaven. And things were just dragging on and dragging on. And Nancy said to me one night, "What about doing what you used to do? You just go in a room and you don't come out until you hear from God." So I said, "I'm going to do it." Went in the room, closed the door, got on my knees for a few hours, prayed and talked to the Lord, and prayed in the Spirit and laid everything out. And I, with great clarity and great distinction, heard nothing. No, let me explain what I mean. It's not that I didn't hear anything. I heard nothing. I heard silence. You know, sometimes you think maybe you're hearing this and maybe you're hearing that. Lord, do you want me to go on that missions trip? Yes, go. No. Go, no. Low, I say, go, no. It's like, okay, I'm not really hearing yet. I'm hearing voices, but I'm not really hearing. One guy said, "This is the way you do it. You want to hear from God, you pray, you ask the Lord your question, and you get quiet, and the next voice you hear, that's God." You know how it is with some of you moms. "All right, Lord, what are you saying? Next voice I hear, that's you." "Mommy!" Okay, that's all right. No, the next voice I hear on the inside. I don't know about you, but that's never really worked for me. Because my mind is at, you know, okay, get quiet. I mean, like 30 voices. All of them contradictory. What I'm saying is I heard nothing. There was distinct silence. And suddenly it dawned on me, this is what God's saying. You don't do anything. I'm going to do something. You don't do anything. And then, when it looked like we were going to have a breakthrough with the sale of this home that had put us under and so on, and finally this thing was going to be lifted off of us, and then there's news that a hurricane is coming, and we're going to be right in the epicenter of it where that house was. The hurricane's coming, and the buyer decides last minute to back out because of thinking the hurricane's going to wipe this area out. And I remember thinking, oh, no, I suddenly felt the burden, all the weight of the whole thing come because it was finally going to get out from us and feel the whole thing fall back on me. And I'm in a service. It was a Thursday night service as we're worshiping the Lord. And I hear this quiet voice. I sent the storm. In other words, I've got a better plan. And I just heard it, and I was giddy. We were out with some friends, and they knew the whole story, and they'd been praying with us about it. And I'm telling them, and Nancy and I are laughing. I'm telling them laughingly. I said, "Yeah, the whole thing fell through. The guy's not going to do it. The whole thing fell through at the last second because of a hurricane." And they're like, "How can you be laughing?" I said, "Because God's got a better plan." And then sure enough, the better plan happened in a way I never could have envisioned it happening, that suddenly lifted a ton more stuff off of us. I never could have envisioned the thing happening like that. Boom, it just happened. And it was just first that distinct silence, God saying, "Don't do anything. I'm going to do something. I'm not, Lord, do I do this?" Or there are only two choices I could see, this or that. And God said, "Neither, nothing." And then when it seemed like everything was crashing down, that still small voice, I sent the storm, and then joy coming out of that. And then next thing, we got delivered from a mountain of financial pressure. 1 Kings, the 18th chapter, one of the high points in Scripture, one of the greatest single accounts in the Bible, where Elijah challenges the false prophets and calls down fire from heaven. When we did our tour in Israel last year, and we were on Mount Carmel just talking about that story, sharing it with everyone. And there's like a statue in honor of Elijah and the account there. It's extraordinary. But you know what happens? after that, and then the rain coming after the spiritual high, Jezebel says, I'm going to kill him. And suddenly, what happens often after a great prophetic victory, after a great spiritual breakthrough, this hellish attack comes. The time when you least expect it, because you feel like Superman or Superwoman at that point. I mean, in God, just so blessed and confident and full of the Spirit, and it all comes crashing down on you. Next, he runs for his life full of fear. Then God tells him to eat. Angel appears and tells him to eat. And then based on the food he eats, he goes 40 days and he goes to Mount Horeb. And God's going to speak to him there. And you know the account. All these different things happen to get his attention. I mean, the rushing wind and crashing rocks and fire and earthquake. And God's not in any of that. Doesn't speak through any of it. All the dynamic stuff, all the dramatic stuff, and then just a kind of a whisper of a voice. Hebrews translated different ways, but still small voice, a whisper of a voice. And God speaks. And that's Elijah's direction for the rest of his life. Those are the marching orders. In fact, God gives him three things to do. He does the first, raising up his successor, Elisha, and Elisha does the next two. That's how the thing continues. Maybe you're in one of those seasons where you really need a word from God. Maybe you're in one of those seasons of transition. Maybe you're in one of those seasons where you know something's not right. I encourage you to earnestly seek the Lord. I encourage you to set aside time. I encourage you to journal what's going on. Write out your questions. Write them out before the Lord. Yeah, of course, he hears, he sees, he knows. That's the biggest thing. But for yourself, write them out. Lord, I don't understand this. This doesn't make sense. I'm troubled with this. I'm unclear about this. And sometimes, just when you give him all your questions, you lay it all out at his feet, even though you haven't received an answer to anything, you still leave with peace because you've given them your burdens. You've shared your heart. You've shared your concerns. And I've been amazed over the years, as I've journaled regularly for many years now, for about the last 20 years in some detail, and then some years before that, just more scattered ways. But I've been amazed to look at things that seem so big, so intense, so difficult that I was troubled by, and I look back a year later and think, that was bothering me? I actually had a question about that? I mean, it would almost feel in at the moment, it was like, God, if you don't speak to me now, I'm paralyzed. I do not know what to do, which direction to go. I've got to hear from you, or the whole ministry is on hold. And we have to tell thousands of people or millions of people we're on hold. That's how big it feels at the moment. You look back at it a year later, and it feels like, should I wear this shirt today or that shirt? You think, isn't that wild? And when you look back, you realize, hey, God's been faithful. The things that seem so major, the things that seem so difficult, he's gotten us through. I remember finding a journal entry one time, and I'd actually written it out on hand when I had a tablet, computer. I'd written it out, which was just, in other words, while I was praying, I was so gripped with this, I just wrote it out. And it was a prayer for the ministry, either for fire as a whole or for my own specific work. And it said this, God, if you don't come through now, it's all over. And I remember looking back at it a few months later, and literally I didn't remember what it was. At that moment, it was life credit. It was everything. Just a few months, I don't mean 10 years later. A few months later, I looked back and thought, what was that? Whatever it was, God came through. So when you journal, when you write out the questions, it's amazing sometimes to see when you look back a year later, that you got a specific answer to this, and the other, just as you followed the Lord, it fell into place, you got clarity. But many times as you write these things out, now it clarifies, okay, this is what's unclear for me. This is what's bothering me. I remember years back in Maryland, beginning of a year, I just felt something's not right. I'm carrying something I'm not supposed to carry. And I talked to the senior leader of our team. I was leading our ministry school that specialized in training people for Jewish ministry then. And I just said, something's not right, and I don't feel, I really don't think I'm supposed to be leading the school and having that responsibility right now. And I talked to the senior leader of our team, and he was quite sure I was supposed to be doing it, was clearly called to do it. I was the one that raised the school up and put it together. He felt that I was to really do it, and I thought, well, I mean, I have been burdened about this, and it is part of my calling, and I love doing this on the one hand. And so I said, okay. I kind of put it aside after that conversation. And on and off over the whole year, I kept feeling something's not right. For a whole year, something's just not right. And at the end of the year, I went back and looked through my journal. I thought, God was telling me right at the beginning of the year what it was, but I got talked out of it. And it was a change that I had to make. I want to encourage you. We are God's children. We are his sheep. He has not just left us here in the dark. Again, I'm not talking about every single day, brush your teeth, wear this shirt, wear these shoes. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about going through a crisis every week. Oh, God, if you don't tell me again that you love me, I can't make it. Well, you know, that's where we need to look at the cross and be reminded of God's love because of what he's done. I'm talking about key times in life. Acts 16, Paul wants to go here, and the Spirit says, mm-mm. Okay, then we'll go here. Nope. And then a dream, go here. And think of it, when they get to that place, that's when they end up getting severely beaten and put in prison. Could it be that one of the reasons they were singing praises to God at midnight, worshiping and singing praises to God after being severely beaten, was because they knew they were exactly where God wanted them to be? And could it be that they were exactly where God wanted them to be because he led them to the right place at the right time for those very purposes, and you have the earthquake and the supernatural release and the whole thing that happens? This is one of the great events in the whole book of Acts, the city of Philippi in Acts 16. When you know that you know that you know you're doing what God's called you to do, you just stand your ground. So tests come and challenges come. This is what God called me to do. You're not sure that you're in the will of God, and opposition comes. It's a whole different mentality. When you know you're where God called you to be, you fight. You know this is where he called us to be. Devil, you're not going to win. Circumstances, you're not going to prevail. Emotions, you're not going to prevail. I'm doing the will of God by God's grace. This is where you called me to be. And Lord, you called me to do this. You're going to back me. You're going to be with me. The devil can mess with our minds and talk us out of things that God has called us to do. We become very weak. Or if you're not sure, because it is that transition time, then you don't have that holy confidence. So I want to encourage you, as we come towards the end of the year, do you know that you're in the center of God's will? As we come to the end of the year, are you bearing the fruit that God called you to bear? Are you thriving in the things of God? Yeah, maybe you suffered a painful loss in recent weeks or months. Maybe there are challenges that you're going through as a family. We're not always jumping through hoops and laughing and smiling. There are challenging times. We understand that. But overall, we should be thriving in God. Overall, there should be confidence. I'm in the will of God. I'm doing what God made me to do. I'm doing what God called me to do. And instead of doubting yourself and saying, what's wrong with me, as you're going through a trying time, maybe it is God calling you to press into him. Maybe it is God calling you to seek his face earnestly. And you say, how do I do that? Well, if you're not spending quality time with God at all, start doing that. But if you are on a regular basis, set aside some time. Figure out a way in your schedule, if you could make an appointment to meet with someone or make an appointment to do something where you would have that time free. Free up some time. If you're married, ask your spouse, hey, could you help? Maybe you've got little kids. Maybe you've got other responsibilities. Say, I've just got to get with God. And maybe you'll have a breakthrough in one night. Maybe they'll take every day just going after him and laying these requests. But he will speak. He knows how to get our attention. He knows how to communicate with us. And sometimes when I'm in a period where I just feels like I'm not hearing anything, I'm not sensing anything, I feel very dull of hearing. I remind God, I am just a dumb sheep. It's the responsibility of the shepherd to communicate with the sheep. And if you do, I'm programmed to follow. It's my nature to follow as a sheep. I'm an obedient sheep, but I need you to speak with clarity. And I'll say, Lord, if you've already told me, I'll cover all the bases, and I've forgotten. If you've spoken it to me and I've neglected it, please be kind enough to remind me. And he will communicate. And when you know you're doing what he called you to do, when you know that you are in the middle of his will, there's confidence, there's life, there's joy, and there's the exhilaration of living by a word from the Lord. We don't live by bread alone. We don't live by earthly sustenance alone. We don't live by what this world can provide alone. We live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Pray with me. Father, I ask you to speak to your people afresh. I ask you to give us ears to hear what your Spirit is saying. I ask you for fresh insight, for fresh wisdom, for fresh revelation. I ask you, God, to deepen our times alone with you. I pray, O God, for a spirit of restlessness until we are rightly resting in you, for that sense that something is not right if indeed it is not, that we can be rightly aligned. Thank you, Lord. Just keep your heads bowed, eyes closed for a moment. If you feel that this is something that God had me speak specifically for you, in other words, this is especially relevant in your life right now, just raise your hands. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Lord, for the many that have raised their hands, I pray that you cause us to press in more. I know the things you've been stirring in my own heart causing me to press in more. You are our shepherd. You are the good shepherd. You are the great shepherd. We are your sheep who hear your voice. We are your children who are led by your Spirit. And as you told Israel, move here, move here, move here, move there, so that they would learn to depend on you. Lord, we depend on you. I think of the promise in the book of Isaiah that our ears will hear a word behind us saying, this is the way, walk in it, when we turn to the left or to the right. Lord, I ask it for fire as a whole. I ask it for each individual family and for each individual, even for those who are visiting that you brought here for this very purpose. Lord, we live in a critical day in history. We need to be in the center of your will. For all of our family that's not here, Lord, quicken their hearts as well and deepen us in our walks with you. In the name of Jesus, amen.